Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the PFF Podcast, year 16. You can check us out live, actually recording this show on the podcast channel. You can check out the show Flag Football America. You can also go to blogtalkradio.com/flagfootball. As always, he's been my co-host for now the last 16 seasons. S-Dot, we're entering year 16. We got so much to talk about, but what's your point of view now that we're 16 seasons into flag football? And don't know if we have S-Dot here, but we're talking live. Let's now go into year 16. 18 is returning. For those that don't know, we have NWO is the reigning champion. And listen, they won two in a row in a dramatic game, won the last second catch. So I have S-Dot here. S-Dot, and let's just talk about that really brief. Let's go back to the last flag bowl, flag bowl number 15. Let's just recap the game. I mean, NWO is now perched at 2, and they're sitting on top, pretty much on top of the flag football world. So let's get an idea and let's talk about them in terms of the show. Hello?
Yeah. So, yeah, New World Order, they won the Super Flag Bowl 15. And I would say a lot of the offseason moves by the seven teams that we have, not all the teams, but probably probably the Mustangs, the Bulls, acquired players, I think specifically to compete with New World Order. While they won the championship, and it wasn't an easy victory, they only scored, six, right?
Yeah, the game, one of the best games ever, one of the best flag bowls ever. I believe that game was at a deadlock 0-0 or at halftime, and then it ended up being 6-6, and they won on overtime. On the last play of the game, rather, Tyreek caught a touchdown pass for NWO.
Yeah, so, you know, I wouldn't say they barely won, because one of the things that happened last year was that the field was smaller. So, it cut down the scoring, which I don't think was necessarily bad. I think what happens with the wider field is once a quarterback escapes the rusher, you pretty much guarantee 10 yards, because you can just run, you know, Trev, you're the engineer guy, but as T-Matrix, but you know how when you run on an angle, you can guarantee yourself a certain number of yards. So with a smaller field, I think the quarterbacks were forced to throw. That being said, obviously Brandon now, who's won two championships, at first there used to be a little bit of, I wouldn't say discussion, but they used to, whatever, the bar used to make fun of his baby arm. But to be honest, the ironic part of that is when it's time to make a throw, Brandon makes the throw. He doesn't hesitate. So I'm saying all that to say that, yep, it was a smaller field. They only won the champion 6-0. But every team in the league knows what they need to beat them. They really don't have a weakness on the field. And on top of that, they come to play every week, and they've got enough talent. So I think every offseason move by the Mustangs and by the Bulls was to compete with New World Order. Now we've got some players back who left for a season or two, and tell me what you think, T-Matrix. I don't know I think some of these players came back just to make sure that the NWO doesn't win their third championship, but I think that they're the team to beat, and you got to have quality defense, you got to have quality females, and you got to have a quality rush. If you don't have, and you got to play on the same page. Whether you like it or not, New World Order plays together, focused. And what I like most about them is when things look bad, they don't get on each other. They just refocus. But I don't know what you think.
No, I mean, here's my thought. I mean, you hit every point I was going to hit in this sense. And then obviously the biggest, you know, change in that season, we cannot go without saying this, is there was no bar. The bar did not have a team in that league. Now, obviously, the bar, they got their five championships. Hey, if they leave with the five, similar to like a Bulls, as you know, Jordan, Michael Jordan, he gets his six rings and bounces. Listen, if that's the exclamation point for the bar, if that ends their story, that they got five championships, they go down as the greatest franchise of all time. Now, some could say, well,
if the bar
had been there.
The bar's
done. The bar's over.
So they only got five. They're done.
Correct.
At five.
So Correct. So we're in phase three. So, but what happens now is you're right. The bar disbands, right? You see sprinklings of them in the league, right? We now know that, right? For the other teams now are trying to get bar, trying to get championship players on their team, right? Silky's now playing with the Mustangs, Fee's on the Bulls. Everyone's trying to, right, get whatever they have to get in place to chuck these back to get the knockoff NWO. So it's clear that it's now NWO's time, and it's there. So they certainly could run the table, get three championships, but the other teams now, right, feel like it's also an opportunity for them maybe to steal one away and get a championship.
They already have three. They already have three, right?
Well, we're saying three in a row. Actually, they don't have three.
No, but they've already got three, so they can get a fourth one. They're trying to go for their fourth. Which, right, no one's ever won three in a row.
Right. So
man,
I
don't care what sport you're playing, man. Three's hard, don't you think?
Three's hard anything, yeah. Particularly at this. This is the highest level of flag football you're going to get in the world. So, yeah, you're definitely to get this championship, no matter when you get it, is an accomplishment. Obviously, we've always talked about in the history of the league, the lore, they've always said that SBD championship was sort of like that because the Steinets weren't there. But to win the championship regardless is an accomplishment. So, and then coming in, right, and obviously we'll break down the other teams real quick. But, yeah, you now got teams, and now you got all the teams now just trying. It's just an arms race. All the teams is loading up with as many veterans that they can possibly get to make a run and knock the New World Order. But you're right. New World Order does everything that flag football, co-ed flag football, is meant to be. They're not afraid to use women as players only. They're players. They're not women players. They're not afraid to use them to throw, pass, run. There's nothing that they do in their offense that hinders them because they happen to have an XY chromosome on the team. So from that standpoint, they are the – and I can say this more than the bar to some extent. They are the epitome of flag football. They don't use the woman. There is no such thing as a woman player on their team. They have just players. And until teams realize that, they're in trouble. This team could win three or four in a row.
Well, yeah, and also, you know, I mean, it's good, man. I mean, good. Look, you have a league, you want players, and things change. And, you know, I think everything runs its course eventually. You know, as much as I'd like to make, you know, I would hope this league would go on without me personally, and I hope it would, but things end and change and evolve. But I'm saying that to say that we've got some players back, and we're missing some player. We're missing one couple key players that I haven't seen, and hopefully they will come. But Kira's now on the Mustangs. We got Chuck D back. We got Marcus back. But we, you know, this is the first time in maybe 7 years. We don't have Dom as of yet. We don't know if he'll resurface, but SBD's not here, and neither was he. Nicole is not here, and we're also missing Tara, which, you know, hopefully she's still on the Bulls. But, you know, things are changing, evolving. I will say that when we say this is like the best co-ed league in the country, trust me, I know, T-Matrix knows, we don't just focus in on the league. We do see, we look outside. And so that being said, the competition is going to be intense, and just like you said, people are stacking the deck. They're trying to load up with as much free agent talent as possible. But trust, I'll say my opinion, and then I don't know necessarily what Team Matrix thinks, but I'm just speaking for me. Trust me when I tell you, you can't just take a whole bunch of people and stick them together on a team. There are little things that happen that will disrupt a team, and a lot of times, I won't say what they are. People kind of know. They're smart. We're dealing with adults out here. But you can't just take a whole bunch of talent and put it together and think it's going to win. That's what made the bar special. That's what made FNF special. That's what makes New World Order special. That's what makes the Stallion special. Heck, that's what makes Silent But Deadly special. We have a collection of individuals who already have committed to work together. And when you take a whole bunch of talent and individuals and then slap them on the same shirt, it doesn't always yield the same results. Hopefully it will for those teams involved, but it doesn't equal – Team Matrix, you're a math guy. That 1 + 1 don't always equal 2 when you're talking about free agency.
Yeah, it's definitely not a sum. It's not just, you know, you stick the parts in and where it's at. And I think the Mustangs are going to go through that. Listen, you add two Hall of Famers, three Hall of Famers to your league. Innovators in the league, Silky, Kira, and Chuck D, their resumes go without being said. So it's a matter of, what happens to everyone else on that team? Does the team bend to what their will is, or do they all kind of get a cohesion? Knowing Chuck, knowing Silky, knowing Kira, listen, they're going to set the pace, and I think the rest of the Mustangs will kind of fall in. But, hey, that is not a negative. We've always said for years that those latter bar championships would not have been there without Fee. Had the game-winning play against the Stallions, added speed on the outside, added defensive prowess, can play any position on the field. So hopefully the Bulls take advantage of that. So we definitely will see that. But let's do this. Let's go through all the new teams, just all the teams that are in this year's class. Just mention them. You can give me a blurb of what your thoughts are, Estat, and then we'll hit the scores. Here are the teams. Here's the lineups. Here's the 2016 Sweet 16 season.
Why don't we just go through the power rankings? We'll just read through the power rankings of last week.
Coming into the season.
Yeah, we don't necessarily have to read them. Let's just list the teams and by order of the power ranking. You can start from the bottom and work your way to the top or top down. You decide. You can tell.
We'll start from the bottom. I mean, because in essence, for the most part, listen, not to give any sort of no credit to some of the newer teams, but yeah, your newer teams, your unknown teams, just tend to sit at the bottom of the power rankings. So we'll get in. Going bottom to eighth ranked team in new team coming to the power ranking. Victoria's Secret, where they were paying.
What'd you say?
What do you mean?
Oh, Victoria.
It's a newer franchise. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Victoria's Secret, not Victoria's. Obviously, a really smart play on words. I like that. Actually, they wear pink, but they're not Victoria's Secret. It's Victoria's Secret. So, a grown man can
wear
pink.
Yeah, but if you're going to wear pink, you got to, I mean, it's all good. I mean, it's 2016.
It's all good.
Guys wear pink.
It's all good.
If you're going to wear
it's
pink, though, you better be able to play, man. You better be able to play.
Yeah, this
would have
been the team I thought would come in during the fall, because I believe October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. It don't matter, but it is. But, hey, not a new franchise, but definitely led by a veteran. FNF, Super Bowl, Flag Football, Flax. Super Flag Bowl champion Mike L. is leading that team. I believe they added another free agent, Nino, and a couple others. But, yeah, you know what? Team Matrix saw them play. Gordon tells me that they got a decent new receiver, decent new quarterback. So, in terms of a franchise, looks like a solid new franchise. Sometimes new franchises are a little shaky.
Well, no, that team doesn't have the new receiver. That team has the new quarterback. They got some new players, though. You're thinking of the
Sharks. They had a decent receiver. I forgot his name, but he had a couple touchdowns.
Well, see, you forgot his name. How's he decent if you forgot his name?
Man, all I know he's about 5'6". Actually, Gordon didn't even get his name, but he definitely, I think he, this is another team. I'm sorry, we're thinking of the Sharks. Never mind. You're right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Gordon had his information wrong.
No, I mean, they have some new players. And definitely give Mike, and definitely commend Mike L, the captain, to want to listen. I just commend all the captains, and I don't think we had said this before, but we definitely are glad that, like, Kira and Chuck and Marcus are back, and we're glad that Mike stepped up. All the captains, listen, for you to run these teams, it's such a pain in the butt, and you don't really get the recognition unless you win the championship, or, you know, that's why we give out some of the little awards that we give out, just because it is a lot of work. But anyway, I digress. So, yeah, Mike L is the captain of the Victoria's Secret.
So Victoria's Secret, not Victoria. So Victoria's Secret. So
right,
they were
Victoria.
Coming in just as a new franchise. Victoria's Secret is a 18th ranked team. 7th team, Sharks. Obviously, I'm not sure if their name was derived from the Any Given Sunday franchise or they just selected a name, but newer franchise. Okay. So, you know, awesome. Good. We love that here in the Flag Football universe. So the Sharks now are added. That team, not a new franchise, but you definitely had some veteran players on that team as well. Right. As I still corrected, Nino is on that team.
No, all veterans. You want to list them or do you want me to list them?
There's a bunch of them. Kenny's in that group, and you got have a newer player in that group. They do have a rookie.
They do.
Yeah.
You get his name? I know his name.
I didn't get his name.
Shrey.
Okay. Well, we'll see if Shrey makes it in week two. We always get a lot of players. Actually, I think he's going to stick.
Well, let's go through the game since they played each other. Trey.
Right. Now,
the Sharks played Victorious.
Well, let's
Secret.
Go to the teams first, and then we'll go to the scores because we got about 15 minutes left. So let's just go to this is the teams, then we'll hit
the
scores.
Step up. We got to hurry up, get through this list. So
yeah, let's do that. So anyone of note on the Sharks you want to make note of?
Yes. I'm going to tell you right now. Dave P., they got Benzo, they got Darius James, they got Nino, they got and they did listen. Okay, we'll talk about the game in a second, but they got tons of veterans, so they're good to go. They need females, though.
Okay.
So that's
Need females, yes. Actually won a game with six players. All right, next group. They've been that Mike G., right, he's been with the Warriors. He got the Spartans. Once again, he comes through in the spring. He brings in Team Marvel.
You know what? That's it. They got Eric at quarterback. They're going to have to figure it. I don't know. There's not much
they
to say.
They got DeAndre,
right,
our podcast legend, on their team as well. But
they
got to figure it out.
Registered. What they need to do is get registered. Let's go on to the next team.
All right. Hot Boys sit at number five. Actually, Hot Boys avoided running the table with all losses, so I think they got two wins last year. That team is incrementally improving. So, and
who?
They come,
who
they play the Hot
improving?
Boys. The Hot Boys.
We need to talk about the biggest story of the week, the weather. But the weather did them in. But hopefully with nicer weather, they'll play better.
Yeah. So CJ and Cuddy and the whole crew's back. Right, the Fee experiment did not work. Don't think they need Fee. They got other things they got to shore up. They just got to get experienced and really have just a set kind of game plan. But numbers-wise, yeah, they always got 10 to 15 each week. Stallions, the elder statesman, the last of his era, the last Mount Rushmore. Well, Chuck did take hiatus and came back, as has C, but C's been the elder statesman. Once again, leading the team. He's got Norton back. He's got Renee back. And, you know,
the Stallions
have been ambassadors.
That's the team to watch right there. Johnny Norton and Brett. Those two together, I think that's going to cause a lot of problems. He's always going to have somebody to throw to. So.
Yeah, and they're in the top four. So they're rightfully ranked number four. And then let's hit these last three all in succession because they're all got linked histories, I guess. Bulls, I mean, the Bulls. Here's what I said. The Bulls, even when they were the Niners, even when they were the Dolphins, I mean, even when they broke up and went to the Stallions, I mean, this team has always been Team Matrix's sentimental pick in the sense that they've just so contributed to the league. They've been here a while. You know they want the championship, but they're just still at it. Mike, you know, not many people do this. Mike L., their GM, doesn't want to be on the field. He just wants to run and coach and GM, and that's rare. You get a lot of guys who want
to
come
Mike
in,
likes to just
cut
yell
the,
at the rest, but it's all good.
He does like to yell. It's all good,
but
to him, I think
he's
that makes him feel
better.
Like he's in the game. Yeah, so he's really they should be appreciative that he's leading from the front and not trying to lead on the field. And then they got the back. They added Fee. You know, adding Fee gives you a volatile mix of speed and a desire to win, and that might be the missing piece. We'll see how that fits. Scott can get him the ball. If he's willing to rush, he's willing to do the dirty work. So this will be interesting how the Bulls match up with the NWO and the Mustangs. What's your thoughts on the Bulls?
I think they're fine. I think Fee's the missing piece. Like he's going to give them. He's going to one make them. He's going to give them a rusher. Well, they already had a good rusher, so that's it. But now they got him and Nate, and then that's it. I mean, and they got his offense.
And they give him the speed on the outside, which they've always lacked.
Yeah, and what I saw this year, because they have so much other talent, they were putting him at center. So, look, he's the game changer. So let's just move on. He's going to change the whole game for them.
Yep, without a doubt. Mustangs, listen, that was at one point, they're probably still the youngest team in terms of overall. Hot Boys might be younger age-wise, but they're a young team with all their athleticism intact with Pena, and you got Steve and Joker. So, yeah, they add in Chuck D, they add in Silky, they add in Kira. Enough said. They're trying to make a run. They want the championship. They've been kicking around the league now, 5-6 seasons themselves. So they don't want to wait. They want it now. So they went on and did what they had to do. They're pressing. They're making the moves to try to become a champion. Enough said. And then NWO, champion. They deserve a championship.
What I'll say is, like we tell every team that we've told before this, there's only so many balls to go around, so it'll be interesting to see, you know, how that ball distribution ratio goes.
And we don't know why the bar broke up. We don't even care. We know Chuck doesn't care about any of that crap off the field. He just wants the ball out. He just wants the ball out.
No, this is a different team than the Barlows. They actually have a lot of weapons. They actually have a lot of speed.
I'm only bringing up the point that Chuck just wants to play and win. He don't care about how the teams come together.
He just wants the ball out. No, but what I'm saying is you're going to have guys on the Mustangs who are used to a certain number of involvement.
Yeah.
They won't have to be as involved, which isn't bad.
No.
They may only have to catch one or two passes a game, and they're going to be for the championship. So what's the difference? That's my only point.
What's the difference? Great point.
Two or three guys that weren't even there.
And we know this. Every flag football player has to make that decision for him or herself. Listen, do I want to contribute to a winning team, or do I want to be the man on a mediocre team? You have to make that decision. I remember Team Matrix in his days literally would try out for a team of 25 deep, and his goal was to catch the two or three balls per game he'd get. Of course, Team Matrix could catch 10 balls a game, but he got to catch two to three to help the team win. I mean, it's just with teams stacked with talent. You're absolutely right. There's only one football. There's only about 35, 40 plays in a game. You got to decide how much of that you want compared to the team's results. There's only one stat that really matters to some. Everybody makes that decision for themselves. So, but then all the teams, and like I said, and the last team, everyone's going for NWO. Listen, right now, this is pretty much not a perfect flag football team, but this is a flag football team, a co-ed flag football team running at 100% efficiency. Everyone knows their roles. They brought back Aaron. I don't know if Urias is back, but they have everyone knows their role
back,
and everyone knows what they need to do. So with that team fully stocked and knowing what they do and knowing what the game plan, don't tell me this team hasn't innovated. Everyone now has a pie chart. The Bulls have flip charts on their wrist because of this team. Every team they've raised the level of every game in every league or every team in this league. And if you say they haven't, you just haven't been watching what we've been watching.
Okay. I don't know. Well, what do you mean? Like, you're saying about
that the bar is set to them. You have to play at their level or below. If you don't use your females right, you'll lose to them. If you don't have a defense, you'll lose to them. If people don't know what their roles are, you'll lose to them. If you can't close out games, you'll lose to them. I mean, they've added even some role players like Tyreek. We'll get to the game. They added just a role player who he knows his job is to catch a couple balls a game. A couple maybe game winning touchdowns, but he knows he's not going to get 10 balls a game, but he might get the one that makes the decision of the game. They just have players who are okay with every role they're given, and they're happy with it, and they play it 100%. They remind me they're really the next level of the Stallions. So let's get to the games.
I'm gonna do the first two games, and then you have everything right. I'll do the first two, and then I'll let you finish up.
Yeah, then let's knock this out. We'll preview next week, and then we're out. We got about 8 more minutes left in the show.
Well,
I'll let you preview
next week, though. I'll knock out the first two games, and then you can finish it up.
And according to Gordon, I guess there's only two games on the slate for this week.
No, that's what I'm trying to tell you. There's four. So
what do you need?
What do you need help with?
Okay, Gordon just needs to get that clarified, how many the games and who's playing who. So we'll do that real quick. So let's hit the first two games.
Let's do upcoming games first. Then we'll do the first two. Then you can take it over from there. Let me give you the upcoming games for the week. All right. So the first two games you should see there. Don't you see it on your monitor? You don't.
Yeah.
Let me tell you. Right.
Gordon is slacking on the last two. But let's hit last week, and then let's just hit last week for next week.
No, let's hit
this. Let's not go ahead.
It's on the website, though. Let me just tell you the two games, and then you can finish them up. This upcoming week, we got New World Order. I'm sorry, Stallions versus the Bulls at 8:30. That's important to talk about. 8:30. The games had to get moved up because we have to be off of our field. So you can write these down and reiterate this later. Stallions versus the Bulls at 8:30. New World Order versus the Hot Boys at 9:30. Mustangs versus Victorious Secret at 10:30, and Sharks versus Marvel at 11:30. All right? It's on the website, flagfootballamerica.com.
All right, so let's go back to week one. Let's just give everyone a quick preview because we want to make sure the standings are good. Power rankings will be out posted. Everything, like I said, you can go back and listen to the show, blogtalkradio.com/flagfootball. Let's just hit last week's games. Four games in the slate last week. Listen, the weather, it's a mid-early, not even spring yet, early spring day. It was in the 40s. Weather was whipping, so a little low-scoring games as expected because there wasn't a lot of passing, but let's hit all the games. Let's do the first two games. So let's not do the first two games.
Well, it was a lot of passing. It was a lot of passing. It was at times the wind just affected it, but it really wasn't much to talk about in the first game. The wind was brutal. If I could describe it to you, imagine somebody just pushing you for 6 straight hours, just pushing you, and you're pushing back. So in the first game, it was 39-0. It started out promising. The wind was definitely a factor, people getting used to it. Chuck came back, Silky, and they were able to score. Ball kind of got spread around a lot. Steve had 2 touchdowns. Silky had a touchdown. And then also last year's MVP, Mr. Chicken, had 2 touchdowns, and then there were some extra points. But Hot Boys can never really get going. It was a close first half, but it was clearly the wind that was definitely effective. So Chuck actually ran for a touchdown as well to get the ball rolling. And it was windy. I think he threw a pick, which he mentioned it himself that he had. I can't remember the last time he threw a first half pick. But it was 39-0. I think the Hot Boys.
I can remember it was in the playoffs the last year, the previous season. But if he can't, it's good. He's got a short memory.
Yeah, well, anyway, it was just the weather was tough, but okay. Anyway, so that's it. So it's 39-0. I think the Hot Boys will play better with when the weather changes. So clear quarterback couldn't really get going. The next game was the Stallions versus New World Order. And I think the win affected it, but this game I think it was like New World Order didn't have everyone there. They were missing both their females and maybe one. They were missing the rookie of the year they had from last year. But I think the weather did affect this game for sure. It was a couple picks. And Brandon looked good, but you could tell he was a little rusty. But they actually took this game to overtime, and it took another game-saving touchdown by Tyreek Travis or Tyrell?
Tyreek,
on the last play of overtime for him to scoop that. He did that in the championship game, right?
And, he won
no,
the,
no, the
it was
game,
the
game
it
game.
Was the I believe it was for
final.
The no I think it was for Super Flag Bowl. He won it on the last play. Yeah, for the against
right?
the Bulls, yeah. Yep.
Well, then how come he wasn't MVP? I thought why was Joe MVP then?
I don't know. We'll go back to that.
I think Tyreek had caught that in the semifinal game, but anyway, it doesn't matter. That 19-13, the Stallions look good. If that's not an indicator that they're going to be pretty good, I think they could use another female, but we'll see. Renee is going to be the main one, so that's just going to put a lot of pressure on Clarence to be really good. So anyway, but T-Matrix, he'll knock out the last two games.
Yeah, but then they got the last game. Last two games is an 11 o'clock game. As we mentioned, a new franchise, Marvel, but right, tons of Spartans and more Warrior veterans on that team. They fall 21-6 to the Bulls. Bulls with Fee. So, yeah, even with Tanisha and Nino and Gino, rather, and Big Sexy wasn't there, but with a full slate of veterans, they're fine. I think Scott, like I said, he did throw a couple picks like he always tends to do, a couple of bad picks, but they stayed on course, 21-6. The only thing I've noted in this game is, yeah, Fee's pretty much rushing, so I don't know if they're going to replace him. If with Nate not being there this week, if Nate comes back, then you could literally have Nate and Fee rushing you for a whole game, which will cause any quarterback in this league's problems. So, but Marvel did score. They actually scored in their first possession. Eric ran, I think, like an 80-yard touchdown, but offensively weren't able to get much going. So we'll see what happens with Marvel, the Marvel team. And then the last game, the Sharks, with only 5, or rather 6, with no female, beat the Victoria's Secret. I think with Victoria's Secret, I just think they had issues with spacing, because in theory, with 6 players and no gender rule, you should be pretty open to be able to score, but they had issues nonetheless. So the final in that game was 32-29. So all your winners this week, Mustangs won, NWO wins, and Bulls and Sharks win. So like I said, going into week 2, check out all the scores, highlights, blackfootballamerica.com, and then you can check out our show, blogtalkradio.com, for myself, for Estat. We'll check you out after week number 1. And one thing to note too is, just like I said, any schedule changes, one thing to note that the first games will be at 1 o'clock, not 1 o'clock, 8:30. So games start 8:30, only just because of the field commitments that have been set up at the field. But like I said, check everything out on the blogtalkradio.com/flagfootball, Flag Football America, and on Facebook. So for myself, for SDOT, we will see you next week.